development standards. We believe that on that basis alone, the hearings officer's decision can be upheld. The institutional development standards also essentially mirror the compatibility characteristics from the conditional use portion of the code. So again, with characteristics such as site size, building scale, style, setbacks, and landscaping, the only difference is that the institutional development standards lack any reference to building style. That's one of the specific characteristics that's been identified by Ash Creek as being insufficient. But the code does not require development to be compatible based on each of these characteristics individually. And that's evidenced in the code language that says these compatibility is based on characteristics such as these. And overall, it's a balancing test. And the hearings officer looked at the overall proposal. So there's been no challenge to the other characteristics, such as site size, the setbacks, or the landscaping, and whether or not those are sufficient. And we agree with the hearings officer that those in total allow this proposal to be deemed compatible with the surrounding residential area. The other point on the compatibility issue is that 33.815.105B actually has two separate components for compatibility. There's B2, which says the proposal will be compatible, and then there's B3 that says, or the proposal will mitigate differences. And on appeal here, Ash Creek has only challenged the actual compatibility and has not taken issue with the hearings officer's findings about mitigation. Either one of these criteria on their own would be sufficient, and for that reason alone, the hearings officer's decision can be upheld. Second issue on appeal is the FAR, the floor area ratio. Our calculation, which staff and the hearings officer agreed with, yields an FAR of 0.27, which is well within the 0.5 maximum. This number is based on the area of the site and the area of the replacement tank. As you heard from Ash Creek, they believe the FAR is more like 1.06. The difference in the calculations comes down to a dispute over how many floors or stories are in a tank. The hearings officer correctly concluded that there is one floor in the tank. Yes, the hearings officer had to look at a dictionary definition of the word floor, but that's because the code doesn't define floor, and the code expressly says where terms are undefined, you look to the dictionary to find out what those terms mean. In contrast to the hearings officer's decision, Ash Creek asserts that there are actually 4.6 floors in the tank because the tank is 46 feet tall. That calculation is based on an arbitrary number of 10 feet being the standard for a floor, which is not anything that's from the code or from any other standard. And the hearings officer provided a very thorough opinion about the meaning of floor area ratio, floor area, and floor, and we rely wholly on that opinion. Ash Creek at heart, the FAR is about the intensity of a use, not necessarily about the scale. FAR works with height to control the scale and bulk of a building, but it's also about intensity. And this use, although the number of gallons have changed or will change that are being stored on site, it's still the same intensity of the use. For example, a shorter or taller tank would generate the same number of trips and employee time that would be required at the site. We also think the neighborhood's interpretation would result in some unintended consequences for other future developments. One example we can think of is that two single-story buildings, one with a 10-foot height and one with a 12-foot height, would be treated drastically differently and without any discernible differences in their appearance or their use. Some uses that might come to mind that typically have larger things, maybe a school has an atrium, maybe a church has a large sanctuary. To arbitrarily choose a new FAR based on the height of one of those structures would be the wrong outcome. It also has impacts for the city's own water towers to the extent that they're in residential areas. They could be inhibited based on the same reasons. I want to respond with the remainder of the time to a few of the things we heard from the appellants. The first one I'd like to address is that the tank size is not doubling. The volume of water being stored is, and through the magic of geometry, you can use a smaller round tank to get the same volume, or you can double the volume, but you don't have to double the size of the tank, and that's because we're going to one structure. So it is not accurate to say that the tanks are doubling in size. One of the comments I heard was that in order, under the hearings officer's interpretation of FAR, it would require 174 feet before this development were to get outside of the allowable FAR. That could be true from a calculation, but then a 174-foot building would not be allowed because of the height limits. And so you have to look at FAR and height kind of together as a package. I heard reference to the sequoias being removed. That is not the case. There, I believe, maybe one or two sort of what's been referred to as a game time decision when it comes down to how to actually construct the tank. But largely, the sequoias are going to be in place. And in fact, during our public outreach process, we heard comments from people that, at least one neighbor, that wanted more of the trees removed. But we think the balance is to keep them there and to keep that hedge in place. With that, I think we'll conclude our presentation and answer questions.
Questions? Commissioner Fritz?
Thank you. So you said that your studies show that you do need extra capacity. How much more capacity did your study show, and is that in the record?
I'll let Mark answer that. I mean, we'll point out before he does that any kind of need for additional water storage is not a specific criterion. So I think he can address that to kind of satisfy people's curiosity, but it doesn't address any of the criteria.
So this is a graph. I'm sorry, I'm an engineer. I have to use a graph. But the fact of the matter is we've looked at that. Under the current configuration with current demands reflecting the current economy and current water consumption and current conservation, we need approximately 0.5 million gallons additional storage at this site. Based on our planning projections, based on metro population forecasts, we would need an additional 0.5 million gallons within the next 5 to 10 years. And that's based on lower demand projections. When we first did our master planning work, the demands would be higher, and in fact, the project would have been fully utilized within the next 5 to 6 years. So we've tried to take into account conservation, we've tried to take into account the economy, and show the slowest growth that we think is realistic for the site.
Thank you. What percentage of the site is devoted to public space?
What percentage of the site is devoted to public space?
Isn't that part of your mitigation that you have the little bench area? I was just wondering.
Right. I'll turn that over to our consultant.
Chris can quantify that.
It isn't something we calculated. Just looking at the map, I want to say 10% roughly, if that.
Okay. And why are you not planning to paint the tank or make it a use colored concrete to make it more compatible with what's there right now?
There are a couple of reasons. We've recommended against it based on our research. We looked into this before it was even raised with the neighbors. There are a couple of issues, but the most significant is that as a water-retaining concrete structure, moisture tends to drive the minerals that are in the concrete out to the surface of the tank. When you paint the concrete tank, particularly a darker color, it's most prominent, you see white streaks all over the dark paint, and so it begins to look like heck within a fairly short period of time. To be able to remedy that requires typically either very strong pressure washing, typically sandblasting on a periodic basis, resulting in an even greater neighborhood disruption. We felt that was really, we were trading one problem for another, and frankly, we think it's better to address the long-term needs in terms of maintenance at this time.
And why not use colored concrete?
Colored concrete represents a whole nother problem. The way that the coating is applied is actually it's sprayed on in horizontal layers, and they keep going around and around using a process called shotcrete. Requires a lot of different batches of concrete as they continue to spray on the concrete, moving up the height of the tank. Experience has proven that as you add the colorant to the concrete, any slight deviation results in yet a slightly different color. And so what you will see is essentially a zebra effect of horizontal stripes on the tank with different shades of colors of the same color, and it will always be discolored, and that's in the concrete at that point.
Thank you. That's really interesting. And I just wanted to clarify something you said in your presentation about or after about the volume, the size of the tank. I thought you said in your numbers that, in fact, it was double the width and the same height or a foot higher.
If you take the volume, the width of the two existing tanks, each tank is about 46 feet wide. When you double that, it's about 92, right?
Right.
That is the width of the proposed tank.
So it is twice as big.
So that's it is the same width as the two tanks together.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Other discussion? All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Has anyone signed up?
No one else signed up.
Okay. We will now move to the appellant, 5 minutes.
Thank you again. Dean Smith on behalf of the Ash Creek neighborhood and the appellant. As we testified earlier, we believe that this case boils down to a judgment that you must make about the compatibility of the project with our neighborhood and the residences around it. We believe the hearings officer was wrong in finding that the structure is on balance compatible with the neighborhood and that its impact can be successfully mitigated. You know, our illustration about a similar type of storage facility that could not be allowed as an institutional use due to the FAR standard, I think demonstrates our point. And we would hope that your decision doesn't rest on what is a floor and what isn't a floor in dictionary definitions, but rather what a comparable passive storage use would be allowed or not allowed on this site. We also recognize that FAR is a measure of both scale and intensity, but the examples of a passive storage facility of another type that couldn't be allowed shows that this facility doesn't really meet the intent of the FAR standards in the code. A couple of other points we'd like to make. First, there was no evidence introduced into the record by the applicant or any other party for that matter of another above-ground water storage tank of this size being located on a parcel this small. It simply doesn't exist elsewhere. And there's no precedent demonstrated in the record for such a size on such a small location. And site size is one of our concerns in this specific location. Second, we believe it's within counsel's discretion to judge it as incompatible, which we do believe is the right conclusion. Meeting some or even all of the institutional development standards does not convey an automatic finding that the project is compatible. If that were the case, this wouldn't be a Type 3 process, but a decision that could be handled administratively. We believe that judgment is part of this decision and that judgment rests with you in this case. Third, we do agree with the hearings officer, as well as the applicant, that counsel must weigh various factors in reaching your conclusion about compatibility. We recognize that building scale and style and size are not the only factors, but the code does not imply that all of the factors are equivalent in weight. That is, one or more factors may be more significant than others and carry more weight in the consideration of compatibility. For example, the fact that the proposed structure squeezes into the site such that it just meets the minimum setback requirements does not mean that it is an equally significant factor when weighed against the scale of the structure and its proximity to neighboring residences, or the fact that the style of the structure is de facto incompatible with adjacent residential structures, as the hearings officer has found. Finally, I'd like to reassert our position that we would willingly support a replacement of the existing 1 million gallons of water storage on this tank. We believe that would be a sound decision and that a new tank of that size would be appropriate for this location. We do want to point out that we did not have an opportunity to meet with the Valley Water District as a neighborhood association. They did have a couple of open houses, but we never had the opportunity or never requested by the district to meet with us and to have a discussion or a consideration of alternatives for this project. I'd also like to point out that need for this tank and its additional size is not a decision factor, nor is the cost effectiveness or lack of cost effectiveness of a 2 million tank versus a 1 million tank. Those are not decision criteria that are relevant to this case. We are well aware that the city has permitted water tanks in residential neighborhoods throughout the city. The difference here is the size of the parcel, the scale of the structure, and the proximity to residential dwellings. We believe that the facts we presented and the consideration of the intention of the code should demonstrate to you that this project, as proposed, should not be allowed. And I would say that we would be happy if you find, in that sense, to continue to have dialogue with the Water District. And we'd like for them, if that's the case, to meet with us as a neighborhood association rather than having independent open houses as they've had in the past. We respectfully ask that you uphold our appeal and reject the hearings officer's decision. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Discussion from council. Or do you want to talk to staff?
I had a question, I guess, for Sylvia. Can you come back up here? So the preservation of the sequoia trees on the west, does the Bureau of Development Services have control over that if we were to approve this and the site becomes developed? I mean, I was a little concerned about sort of Mr. Knutson's referral to it's a game day decision as to how many sequoias come down.
Yes, the
on the ground decision, maybe, is what you said.
Right. The site plans that were revised and submitted upon which the hearings officer based his decision indicate an area along the east property line where more than likely some of the trees will have to be removed. It's particularly interesting, and this is also in the record and has been discussed. These sequoia trees, as you saw in the pictures, are planted incredibly close together, and the city forester has gone out, and I believe the Water District also had an arborist look at the trees. There was some discussion about whether or not they could be preserved, and if some got removed, if that would impact others because the roots are so intermingled. At one point during the process, the district had considered taking a look at removing all the trees and replanting with more space between the trees, which would be to the zoning code standard, but would also give a little bit more space between the trees to help the health of the trees. But meeting with the city forester and taking a look at that and looking what the consequences are in permitting and mitigation for trees being taken down, along with the neighbors' input, that those trees are very significant mature trees, and the neighbors, I believe, feel that they're a signature grove, if you will, for their neighborhood, and I think that's a reasonable description of them, that they decided to preserve them and only remove a minimal number. So it's my understanding that the site plans that were submitted is essentially your worst-case scenario, that amount, that gap that's being shown on the east property line with new landscaping would be, quote, the worst-case scenario, and hopefully during construction more than those trees could be saved potentially, but it would be on a in-the-field decision.
Other discussion? Motions?
I'd move to deny the appeal and uphold the hearings officer's decision.
Second.
And seconded. Discussion.
Yes, I'm very concerned about this issue, about the interpretation of the floor area ratio. I believe it's intended to address intensity of use in any zone that it's used, and that's why it's on in this residential zone with this institutional use. The floor area ratio is supposed to address the mass of an object, and the definition of it doesn't consider any floors that are below grade, more than 4 feet below grade, because it's supposed to look at the height and scale in relationship to the site and in relationship to the proximity. So allowing the FAR to constitute any height up to the height limit of the zone doesn't seem to implement what we have FARs for. Which is to manage the intensity and therefore the scale. And it addresses the approval criterion of the massing of and the size of this facility. With the interpretation of the code as it stands, any height could be achieved as long as there's only one floor that's on the floor or below. And I don't think that that's correct. And I think we've seen in the illustrations provided that it results in a structure that is not compatible with the neighborhood.
Okay. Other discussion? Carla, would you please call the vote on the motion?
Saltzman?
Well, I'm going to support the motion because I do feel that on balance, this proposed replacement reservoir, I'm sorry, storage tank, is compatible with the neighborhood, and therefore I support denying the appeal.
Leonard.
The what are you, is he supposed to actually?
Oh, am I supposed to?
You're supposed to vote.
Okay, I'm voting aye.
Aye.
Right. Okay. Aye.
For the motion.
I think the argument on the FAR may have had some weight, were the existing tanks significantly smaller than what is being proposed. But essentially, what's being proposed is but for a foot exactly the same height and basically the same width. And I think that the district has met its burden, and I vote aye.
Fritz.
I believe the approval criteria are not met in finding that the proposal is not compatible with adjacent residential developments based on the site size, the building scale and size, and the setbacks and landscaping. Another point that wasn't fully discussed is that it's moving closer into the center of the site, more visible from the street. No.
Adams?
Well, both sides argued very effectively, but since we sit as judges, I have to weigh by the facts against the state law, and I believe that it meets the letter of the law, and so I will support the motion. Aye. We're adjourned.
I really need
the metro lights.
Yeah.